Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. I would love to tell you that I just can't understand the Israelites in this Old Testament lesson. The problem is, I understand them a little too well. Exodus 16, the people of Israel are in the wilderness and they're grumbling. They're grumbling because they're hungry. As they note, they're not in Egypt anymore, where they used to have lots to eat as they gathered around the loaves of bread and the pots of meat. That's what they say to Moses. Though they conveniently leave out the part about the backbreaking labor and the cruelty of Pharaoh. You know, when they were slaves, they're convinced God has brought them out of Egypt only to let them die. And how does the Lord respond? Well, He's displeased with these grumbling people, but they're still His people. He's promised to be faithful and to bless the world through them. So He tells Moses that He will send food, meat in the evening, bread in the morning. He will provide. And this provision will also serve as a kind of test to see how well they listen and obey. Furthermore, as He promises this bread, the Lord comes to be present with His people. He comes to them in His cloud of glory to relay this promise. He doesn't withdraw because of their grumbling. And so that night, quail land in the camp. The people have meat. And the following morning, when the dew lifts, a heavenly bread, fine as frost, is on the ground for the people to eat. What is it? What is it? The people ask. Moses tells them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The Lord remains faithful. He provides what is needed to keep the people alive on their way to the promised land. Fast forward to our gospel lesson for this week. The people say to Jesus, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now, Jesus has just fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But they want more proof that He's the Messiah. So He tells them plainly, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." He tells them He is someone better than Moses. He tells them He is something better than manna. He's the long-awaited Savior. He's come to deliver them from their wilderness wandering. He's come to deliver them to the promised land of the kingdom of God. What great news! How do the people respond? Well, you'll hear about that in upcoming gospel lessons. But you can probably guess. They grumble. They don't like the way Jesus is going about saving them. They want Him to be different. By the end of John 6, many of those who were interested in Jesus, who spent some time listening to Him teach, have left. The people fail. But the Lord does not fail. He keeps His promise. He holds to His Father's will. He goes to the cross for the sins of the world, for their sins of leaving Him. For my sins and for yours. You see, you and I are made of the same stuff as the people of Exodus 16 and John 6. While the Lord faithfully promises forgiveness and life and salvation to you and me, we will be tempted to grumble about how He does it. In fact, the devil will tempt you to grumbling in all sorts of ways. Like the Israelites of Exodus 16, you'll be tempted to keep souvenirs from your past. Like the Israelites saying, "Oh, the bread and the meat in Egypt, boy, was that good." You'll be tempted to hang on to old, comfortable ways of sinning and to even think about those as the good old days. But those activities of our old sinful nature were part of slavery. Slavery. You've been delivered from that. You and I will be tempted to grumble that God is taking up too much of our time when we have so many things to do. Sometimes you'll be tempted to grumble just for the sake of grumbling. God gives loving family members, we focus on faults. God gives house and home, we focus on what we don't have in it. The devil hates contentment because contentment goes hand in hand with thankfulness to God and trust in Him to provide. You'll always be tempted to grumble about what you don't have rather than give thanks for what you do. Now, add to that all kinds of media that amplify complaint, that celebrate complaint, that enshrine complaint. And you realize people haven't changed since Exodus 16. You ready for some good news? The Lord is still faithful. When His people grumbled against Him in Exodus 16, He didn't turn away and leave them in the desert. Fine. Be that way. I'm going over here. No. He had promised to deliver them to the promised land and to deliver the Savior of the world through them. And so, in time, that Savior was born. When the Savior Jesus declared to the people in John 6 that He was the bread of life, they grumbled. Many didn't believe. They stopped following Him and went away. But He didn't stop. He kept His promise. He went to the cross. He gave His life as a ransom. Rather than grumble about the thanklessness that He received, Jesus prayed as they were nailing Him to the wood, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that is our hope. We rest everything on that prayer. Jesus does not cast you or me aside when we grumble. Now, He does warn us that discontent is a temptation that can lead you back to sin and death and slavery. It's no joke. But then He promises that He's died for your sin, sins of discontent and grumbling included. And by His supper, He still comes in glory to provide for you. We come to the communion rail, and you may look at that wafer, and you may look at that wine in the chalice, and like the Israelites looking at manna, you may say, what is it? It's heavenly food. It is Jesus, the bread of life. Come and eat and drink and live in His grace, in His faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, life-giving bread, may I in grace possess You. Let me with holy food be fed. In hunger I address You. Prepare me well for You, O Lord, and humbly by my prayer implored, give me Your grace and mercy. Amen.